I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind, and if any of the issues that you hear in today's episode sound like something you'd like to discuss with me, at the end of the show, I'll let you know how you can connect with me. Today, I'm pleased to welcome back Brian Honigman. Brian is the CEO of Honigman Media, a content marketing consultancy based in Philadelphia. Honigman Media works with established brands and growing startups to help them better tell their story and focus their marketing on the right goals and priorities. To date, Brian has spoken at and worked with The Weather Company, People Magazine, the United Nations, Thomson Reuters, NATO, Ad Knowledge, Amerisleep, Sumwall, and others. He's a frequent contributing writer to The Next Web, Forbes, Entrepreneur Magazine, and other publications. Brian is also an adjunct professor at New York University in the Marketing Department at the School of Professional Studies. Brian, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you on again.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me back.
I know it's been a while since we had you on the show. You were a guest on episode 59, which is going back a while. And I'd like to dig a little deeper into what we may have discussed the last time. And in particular, if you think about how somebody who might be, let's say, a 50-year-old business owner who's been in business for 20 years, and there's a market for what the company offers, yet business has been at a plateau for some time. And the business owner ends up getting frustrated because he or she knows there's more business out there, yet he or she can't seem to get more of it. And then the frustration and the fear of failure cause reluctance to make a huge investment in new marketing efforts. And we all know how important marketing is, but when we kind of get into that stuck place, particularly in our mind, the wherewithal to make an investment that you know is likely to bring a good return gets harder and harder to make. So I wonder if we could kick off with that kind of scenario, and what do you think somebody like that might be able to do?
Sure. Great question. There's a lot to unpack there for sure. So as a good starting point, when I was on your podcast previously, I was about 2 years into running my own business. Now I'm 3.5 years to running my own business. Not a huge amount of time, but it feels like it's been a long time.
Well, it's almost double.
Yeah. And I would say I was probably halfway through this process then, is I was actually trying to get ahead of my own plateau. So I hopefully some of these tips will be applicable to someone who's, you know, in the depths of a plateau and they're trying to get out of it. So, you know, at the very beginning, I would say the first year of my business, I was mainly doing freelance writing copy, writing articles, blog posts, white papers. And it was great. I was just really excited to get out there and do business for myself, do anything for myself, and have the opportunity to explore. But I quickly realized that I could not see myself in 10 years, even 5 years, writing, you know, an article every day or 10 articles, you know, a week or whatever amount of writing for the rest of my career, if that was just only thing I was going to do. So while it was definitely great to be focused on that and have that bring in money and help me set up my my business, my consultancy, I needed to try other things, get into other areas without risking the core business. So I think that's what could be applicable to someone who's, you know, at way past the point of they want to take a different direction, but they still have to, you know, keep the lights on and maintain everything they have going. So what I did was, before I was irritated and kind of jaded about what I was doing, I tried to make smart investments in different areas. So when I talked to you last time, I was already doing speaking engagements, setting up different coaching clients, exploring how to do online courses. And since then, I've made a lot of investments. I've sucked at a lot of things, but I've definitely succeeded at others, so that my time and where my money is coming from is diversified, so that I can bring in a healthy revenue stream from a couple different areas, and not, you know, go insane from, you know, writing, you know, so much content. Now I've scaled down how many, you know, clients I focus on the writing aspect. I'm still doing writing because I genuinely enjoy it, but now I'm able to, dive into other areas. And I think that's something other business owners, could certainly profit from, is, starting out with a really small idea, in another area related to what they're already doing, and test it out. It may fail. And if it does, that's okay. You just shouldn't make, you know, a jump into a different area with, you know, the full deck. You know, you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket and, you know, risk going out of business entirely.
Right. As tempting as it might be.
Exactly. And I definitely
new ideas is like the shiny object syndrome. New ideas always sound so enticing.
Right. And it's exciting, right? You know, the reason you're leaving the plateau, this kind of stagnant state, is you're what? You're either not making as much money as you want, you're not excited anymore, it's becoming just mundane, right? You might as well have a 9-to-5 in some cases, right? And you have to kind of step back and be really systematic about it.
Talk to me a little bit about the systematic nature of it, because I think that's really one of the keys to what you're talking about, being able to test new things in a systematic way as opposed to a haphazard way.
Sure. Well, you actually set me up perfectly, because you said, you know, when you have that new idea, you're going to kind of run towards the shiny object, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ideas are great. You should be consistently coming up with different ideas about, you know, an existing business you have, or brand new ideas in a different area. But what you do with those ideas is important. So you got to take the time. There's kind of three stages, go through like an ideation period, an incubation period, and acceleration. So in the beginning, you really want to put your idea out there in a way where you'll get genuine feedback. You kind of test the waters a bit, right? So a lot of ideas aren't that good. And that's okay, because you need to put out a lot of terrible ideas to find some good ones. But you need some feedback that doesn't come from your parents or your best friend. You need some feedback from people that are going to be honest with you. So one thing that I would do as a writer is just cover other topics, ideas that I think are interesting, and put it out there. And sometimes I had like a very specific purpose behind an article. Other times it was just kind of at random that some topic struck a chord with people. And in that kind of process, I would actually see, wow, that article did really, really well. I actually got a lot of feedback about that particular subject I'm covering, either from the amount of comments or people reaching out about it, or social shares, or the editors said it did really well and they would love to, you know, do a webinar on it or whatever. And that happened a couple times. And once I saw it happen kind of on its own, it was interesting to just think of different ideas. You know, what is my take on coaching? What is my take on speaking? What is my take on, you know, offering XYZ service in this space? And see if that resonates. And that was a really good kind of first stage idea for me. Of the process for me is making sure that anyone was interested in the idea. And in some cases, it'd be customers repeatedly asking the same questions, and there apparently isn't a resource on it, and it's not something I could offer them through creating content. So let me see if I can offer it in a different way. The second kind of part of the process is incubation. So I figured that after a while, I think it was important that I offer coaching. I found that I had a lot of requests for it, articles, that I was offering on the subjects of content marketing and social media were really resonating with people, and I should start to really invest more so in that area. But I had to kind of incubate that offering as a business instead of just going out there and saying, hey, I'm a coach, you know, sign up. I know you yourself have talked a couple times about there being a lot, everyone considers themselves to be a coach, right? And I don't want to ever come off that way or present a business offering without doing my research, doing the homework, building upon my experience so that I offer something actually worthwhile to clients. So what I did was incorporate it into existing projects as a free offering, and then also took on clients for free or at a reduced price and offer them coaching services around the subjects, the marketing areas that I'm, you know, have an expertise in and that I've been writing about for years and working on for the companies I work for in the past. And by consistently doing that, definitely some trial and error there, but it was very upfront, you know, that this is something that I'm starting new at. I'm learning as I go. I took courses on lynda.com to kind of beef up my coaching, you know, the framework to how do you I have the information that people are looking for as businesses and marketers. Now, how do I deliver it in the right kind of format as a coach? Spoke with other mentors that I know have done coaching for a while to get their expertise on and their opinion on what I'm supposed to do. But in the end, just as one of the areas that I worked on, it actually worked, which was great. And I have two or three coaching clients at one time now, amongst doing other writing work, amongst doing speaking, amongst the online courses, all different little investments I'm making to diversify, to make sure that I'm not just in a slump or in a plateau with just one of these areas. The last stage, which I won't go into as much because I'm still in that phase, is kind of the acceleration. How do I, now that I'm, you know, feel fairly comfortable with these different areas that I've invested some time in and offering them as a, you know, worthwhile service for different clients in the space, how do I accelerate growth if for coaching and speaking and for courses like I have with writing? I feel very confident that I could be a freelance writer for the rest of my life. As long as I adapt to the market, remain competitive, I can totally do that. And I want to get to that level with those other areas, other business offerings. And through that kind of three-step process, I think I'll get there with a minimal risk, because any failures I've experienced, I've tried my best to kind of account for them ahead of time without risking, you know, what I've, you know, the client relationships or, you know, damaging any customers or anything, you know, that would be, you know, pretty hurtful for the business. I was able to get ahead of that and kind of continue to grow the business and in new exciting areas that make me, you know, still passionate and excited to talk about marketing and help people with their marketing every day.
Brian, I love what you said about trying to incorporate new services into existing offerings as a way to begin to incubate them. I'm wondering how many people think about doing this in a systematic way, that something that might have a little pivot to what you're currently offering your customers could end up being a spinoff and something that you could then accelerate and scale.
Yeah. I mean, think about, you know, some of your most loyal customers, you know, the ones you have a really great relationship with. Does this service, this new product, is something that could be of value to them? Is it something that they'd be willing to kind of test out with you for, you know, free of charge or as a part of your existing, you know, relationship with them? I think that's a really safe way to see what others think about it. See if it's actually as interesting and valuable as you think. And before you would put it out there and, start fresh with a brand new client, brand new relationship. And that could be a lot more risky. I'm just totally all about avoiding risk whenever possible.
Mm-hmm. And Brian, how do you think this systematic approach, ideation, incubation, followed by acceleration, might work for a bigger company? A company that may have many employees.
So it'll certainly be much more complicated, but it still applies. So I am a solo entrepreneur, solopreneur. I work with a bunch of contractors, and obviously I'm very different than an IBM, right? I don't even feel like a real business compared to them, right? Because they're a huge multi-billion dollar company, pros and cons of both approaches, but they are on such a more epic, more complicated scale. But without a doubt, the weather company is one of my clients, the weather company is owned by IBM. And using them as an example, I know they're known for their inventions and sense of innovation. They pretty much follow this process in the sense that as a large company, you need to be consistently coming up with ideas and testing them, getting feedback, understanding if there's a product market fit, if it's something people actually want, is there actually a demand for it? And then they let it sit and incubate in the sense of they do survey groups, focus groups. How can you find that balance of producing enough of the product to get it out there and start testing and see it, testing on in the actual market live, not just in a focus group, and see if it resonates, if people are actually interested, if this is actually helpful in their everyday. In terms of accelerating, there's multiple, mini steps in between these stages. These are obviously very high level. Beyond incubation, when it's starting to get out into the world, acceleration is making it a brand name, a household name. Acceleration is the product's out there in the world, the service is out there in the world, but it still needs that extra push to be as recognizable in the eyewear market as Warby Parker, or in the drinks market like Coca-Cola or whatever, to do whatever it takes to get to that, saturate the market, whether that's investing in more marketing and advertising, whether that's building more partnerships with influencers, etc. So that's a really brief, but same exact process, just far more complex, right? I'm not running focus groups, as part of the incubation stage of me growing a one-person business. I'm definitely not running focus groups. I could if I was at a different scale and I wanted to, but a big player, a big company like IBM with multiple touch points and far more considerations, they would have something, a much more comprehensive framework in place for each step.
It sounds good. Brian, what have been some of the most transformational kinds of help that you have received in your own entrepreneurial journey?
Just honest feedback and getting, that affirmation that I'm doing the right thing, but then not stopping there and actually trying and having that person actually try to push me to the next level. So one of my, mentors, Eric Sampson, who is a marketing consultant himself with Group 8A. We worked together when we were at Marc Ecko, the clothing brand. And he's just been always someone that gave me really constructive advice. And every time I meet him, it's kind of painful in a sense, because sometimes I don't want to hear it, because I'm content in, I found my rhythm, I'm doing well, but then here he comes with, support, and then tries to motivate me to go to the next level, whether that's trying to step away from my brand, my personal brand, and try to create, other products and services that aren't branded under Honigman Media, Brian Honigman, and try to invest in other areas so that I can sell some businesses, invest in different businesses. I think that really just helped me kind of think out of the box and not so in the day-to-day of running the business, but more so growing the business in new areas that I might not have thought of. So in summary, basically getting advice from people I trust, like Eric, Mr. Samson, and having them push me and make me aware of other options I might not have thought of. We all need that now and again. So
we sure do. We sure do. And looking at some other people, whom do you know personally who has been successful at smashing plateaus?
Two people. So one is the lovely Sunny Leonard Doozy. She is a Canadian video marketing consultant / YouTuber. She helps with all kinds of marketing stuff, especially with social media and digital marketing. For a long time, she had clients and found it difficult to reach them, right? She found it's difficult to get leads driven to her business. She had a successful business, but not until a year ago, she started a YouTube channel under Sunny Leonard Doozy, and basically there creates videos of all different types about how to succeed with marketing, how to create Instagram videos, how to shoot video on your iPhone, all different kinds of relevant searches to marketers across the board. And in a year, she was able to develop an audience of 50,000 subscribers, which is pretty impressive for a marketer on YouTube. A lot of the big YouTubers have, need more in the six figures to start making it their full-time career. But it's really impressive in a short period of time what she was able to do to get basically share her knowledge and really understand the platform she was working with and build an audience and therefore have tons of clients coming her way, to the point where she had to start launching courses to better help the wide variety of people she was reaching. Just very impressed with her ability to kind of build that content hub for herself and take her business to the next level. And now she's able to reach people through speaking and her courses and on a weekly basis through YouTube, whereas before she, had more difficulty finding customers, getting in front of people, and now she's kind of created, a place for people to find her.
Sounds like a great example.
And then one other is Daniel Diapizia. Diapizia, there we go. He is the owner of Rich 20-something. So he's was really frustrated. He was, a waiter and, all different kinds of jobs in his career. And he was really unhappy and was trying to figure out how to start his own business. And he didn't really want to be employed by anyone anymore. He tried all different kinds of things. We could talk about it all day. But in a very short period of time, he's kind of a business marketing guy. He was able to regularly write for his blog, Rich 20-something, build a massive email list of assuming mainly other 20-year-olds, but also people throughout their career trying to build their own business and market themselves. Built a huge email list, spent time podcasting and all these different things till he finally found his groove by through the blogging, through generating a huge email list, and then also building a Facebook group. Facebook pages today, it's really hard to get traction unless you pay for it. But if you build a community within a Facebook group, you can really get reach people on a regular basis. And just mainly through being a really smart guy and hustling and not being afraid of trying different platforms, he was able to figure out what is the best place for him and his organization so that he could sell courses and do different types of trainings online. By trying YouTube, by trying podcasting, by trying blogging, he found the right rhythm. And that's something I'm pretty impressed by, is that He tried all these different platforms and found the ones that resonate for him and where he's able to reach the right audience. So now he has a book deal. So definitely check him out. He's just at rich20something.com.
Yeah, the trial and error that it takes to find something that works for you,
yes,
is something that I think many people overlook how important it is to, A, to keep trying.
Yep.
To try different channels or different avenues or different methodologies. And also when you know what it is you're trying to achieve and you have a vision, you've got to keep at it for quite a while. And it takes a certain amount of, fortitude and probably some self-confidence and the kind of help you were talking about, where you're getting guidance from other people to make sure that you keep doing it until you get the results you want.
Right. You need that push sometimes.
It's not necessarily simple.
No, not at all. And that's why with both Sunny and Daniel, I'm impressed, because I've watched them kind of test around and play around with these different channels and different ways of reaching people and different ways of packaging themselves, and to see where they are today. I'm excited to see, where they'll be in the next 5 years. So it's pretty cool.
Yep, those are great examples. Brian, what can we look forward to in the near future from you?
So like I mentioned, one of the areas I'm really trying to build up is online courses. So right now I'm working with LinkedIn.com, purchase lynda.com, which is a kind of an online education platform that offers different video courses on a variety of subjects, and they hire outside professionals on different subjects like myself to teach the courses, and then they support it on the platform. So now I have a course on how to set up and organize an editorial calendar that's both live on lynda.com and also on LinkedIn Learning, which is kind of the LinkedIn version. But my guess is they'll integrate or something in the future. But it's the same course on both places. And I have three other courses in the works that I can't really talk about now, but they're coming very soon, also about social media and content marketing and just how to do it right, and how to avoid all the hype around these shiny tools and just drive actual results. I have one course live with LinkedIn Learning. If you just Google editorial calendar, Brian Honigman, you can find it. I'm definitely trying to learn a lot from doing courses with a third-party platform like Lynda or LinkedIn, and take those lessons and apply it to building out my own courses someday, where I host them on my own website or wherever else, so I can, you know, own more of the process. But for now, this has been fantastic. Working with them has been, you know, really streamlined process, and they handle a lot of the work. So it's awesome.
That's great. Well, we're looking forward to hearing and seeing how things unfold for you. Are there any other links you'd like to share with our audience about how they can learn more about what you're up to, follow you, keep in touch with you, etc.?
Yeah, the best place is just to sign up for my newsletter. It's just brianhonigman.com/newsletter. It's basically my almost weekly newsletter featuring articles I'm writing, courses I'm producing, articles from others about how to do social media and content marketing with a purpose.
Sounds great. Well, Brian, thanks so much for taking the time to come back for another episode of Smashing the Plateau. It's been great to catch up with you, hear what you've been up to in the last year and a half. I can't believe it's been that long since you were on. And there have been some awesome developments.
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been great. So thank you again for coming back. My guest today has been Brian Honigman, the CEO of Honigman Media. Thanks again, Brian, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-7000. 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.